It hasn't been a particularly exciting year in, frankly, broadly in markets on a day-to-day level. But if you look at returns, holy cow, credit has crushed it. High-yield bonds have returned nearly 5% so far year-to-date, being led by the riskiest of risky bonds. Joining us here to figure out how much longer this rally can continue, Peter Scheer, head of macro strategy at Academy Securities, based in Connecticut, but joining us here today in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. So, Peter, are we sort of at the precipice of another sell-off, or could we see those 10% returns, 11% returns that some Wall Street analysts are calling for this year?
You know, I think we could. I'm saying that bonds have wound up. We were talking about falling angels. They didn't go to hell. They wound up in purgatory. So I think we're stuck now. Some of the big total return's gone, and now you're going to have to live off of coupon return and kind of roll and carry. So it's going to be a little bit boring.
What does that mean in terms of total return over 2019?
So, you know, in high yield, you could add another 5 to 7% that way.
So, okay, so you could get to 10 to 12% return
kind of puts you right
on high-yield
bonds. Yeah, and on, you know, triple B bonds, you're going to be lower, but I think it'll still be a very nice positive return. We're not done yet, so I think you're supposed to keep in credit right now.
So, Peter, given the rally that we've had in the credit markets this year, where are you in terms of the risk profile? Are you still out there looking for risk, or are you using the rally to kind of improve the credit quality of your portfolio?
So we went kind of from raging bull and kind of didn't matter to we're being a little bit more selective. What I find interesting right now in the market is I actually like the triple B sector, so the lowest end of investment grade, because I still think that's the part that was least, you know, loved, so there's still more room to buy it. I don't actually like single B, so the stuff above triple B, because I don't think they got the message that, hey, credit is bad. So the single A's are the companies that are going to do the M&A activity, that are going to still do stock buybacks. And then weirdly, I also don't like the double B sector, which is the high end of high yield, partly because all this money's flowing in, so it's gone into the quote-unquote safe part of high yield, which is double Bs. So I think you want to be a little bit cautious on high yield, kind of skew yourself a little bit more to triple B and fund managers to do that, and even start looking at leveraged loans again.
All right. So a mild bull, not a raging bull, but a tempered bull, Peter Scheer, with the expectation that high-yield bonds could still return 10 to 12% so far this year. The question is, how long can it last? You know, and people talk about we're in the ninth inning. This has been a credit cycle that we're probably in the 23rd inning. But I have to wonder, do you see more investors getting into credit via credit default swaps, via ETFs, via instruments that they can get out of very quickly?
I think there's definitely more trading mentality. People want to look for what's the right hedge, how do we get out if we need to. And I think this isn't going to be driven as much by demand, but by lack of supply. I think we're going to see less than $1 trillion of IG credit, which sounds like a lot, but that would be the least since 2011. You have about $700 billion of IG debt that matures this year. You're seeing tender offers in very large size by companies like Verizon and Budweiser. So I think this is going to be a limited supply, and companies are reacting. They're saying, woo, this was bad. The companies with a lot of debt got punished. Their stock price was really far down, whether you're Budweiser, GE, Newell Rubbermaid. So you're starting to see companies change that narrative. So I think you're going to see less and less debt available to buy, and that's where you'll get the squeeze, not because there's so much more new demand.
So, Peter, you mentioned you're assuming some risk still in the high-yield sector. What are some of the sectors that you think are still attractive to you right here, even after the rally?
So we like anything kind of to do with liquid natural gas. We do believe that everything we're hearing out of D.C. is a trade deal is still likely to come, and it's going to be very heavy on China buying liquid natural gas as one of the products they'll agree to. There's a lot of build-out that's still necessary, so we see that area as something that is underappreciated. Some of the potential for deals priced in, I think people are going to be surprised just how powerful the deal is. So we like that sector. Autos at the other end is one we're still watching very closely. What we're trying to figure out is how effective they've been by the tariffs and trade war, and how much is just saturation in terms of automobiles and what higher rates are doing to the consumers domestically and more of a saturation overseas. So autos are kind of there that we're taking a closer look at.
What would have to happen to make you not bullish anymore on credit?
So I think, one, no sign of a trade deal. I think if we're not going to get a trade deal, we're going to have serious economic problems. The slowdown we're already seeing in China and Europe is going to get worse there and spread to here. So that would be one thing. The other is, if companies quickly kind of forget about how bad it was in November, December, and start re-leveraging themselves, right? Big part of this is, you know, you're kind of looking management in the eyes and saying, are you going to behave? And to the extent that you believe management's going to behave, you want a long credit. If they start going back to the bad ways, you want to pull back.
But to that point, Goldman Sachs put out a report overnight where they basically said, we're no longer recommending that you invest in the shares of companies that are responsible and that are deleveraging. Go ahead and go toward those that have much worse balance sheets because the Fed's going to have your back.
I think they're maybe premature on that. I want the ones that have worse balance sheets that are still deleveraging. I don't want to touch, again, some of those high-quality single-A companies that might decide to leverage themselves or do something that is punitive. But I think they're a bit early on that. I still want companies that are doing the right thing because I think the markets are going to be fickle, and if you do the wrong thing, you'll see big sell-offs in stocks again.
Are there any sectors that you see a preponderance of companies doing the wrong thing that we should stay away from?
No, I think that was probably true September and October. Right now, most companies seem to be doing the right thing, which is encouraging.
All right. So going forward, you like credit. When do you see this turning? I mean, how long do people have before you start to see the risks building up again?
I think at least 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer.
Do you think that there will be another credit crisis? And if so, what would cause it?
I don't think there's going to be another credit crisis because I don't see the leverage in the system or the trading system. In the financial crisis, everything was kind of interconnected. You know, one thing, not the other. There were products like CPDOs, which were constant proportion default obligations. There were LSSs, which were leveraged super seniors. So everything was linked. And as soon as one part of the capital structure started getting in trouble, everything had to get sold. There was a lot of mark-to-market risk. I do think we can get bouts like we saw in December where the ETFs in particular drive prices lower, but they can rebound quickly. There's just not liquidity, but I don't see people being forced out of the market.
All right. So going forward, you don't see another credit crisis. So if people are going into credit right now, you said that people do have a trading mentality, but it sounds like perhaps they shouldn't. Perhaps it should be more buy and hold.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to pick the credits you like, stick with it. And that's how you're going to make your money. And if there is a bubble, I think the bubble is much more in terms of volatility selling. We see that in the equity markets. But as you know, all these ETFs really generate a lot of options activity around it. HYG, which is one high-yield ETF that's about three times the dollar price of JNK, which is another one, has a lot more volume because the option activity is very big. BKLN, which was a leveraged loan, had a big trouble. There was a huge put strike done, 22-21. As you near that 22 price on BKLN, the decline accelerated. It went through and bounced back. So I think the options markets are, again, becoming the tail wagging the dog. That's where I see the problem. So I think selling volatility is very careless, and that's where you got to be careful.
Peter Cheer, thank you so much for being with us. Always wonderful having you. Peter Cheer is head of macro strategy for Academy Securities, based in Connecticut, but joining us here today in our 1130 studios.